Hi, this is Rich Buckley, Rich Buckley Realty, Bay Area Pathfinder Productions. This is regarding condemnation. The trouble with condemnation is they take your property away from you. And I've worked in about 19 redevelopment agencies in practicing real estate throughout California. Most of them have been in Northern California, some in Southern California. And just about all the agencies, although they have different visions and different goals and purposes, just about all the agencies operate similarly. There are some considerable controversy surrounding the Kelo versus the City of New London, Connecticut course lawsuit, 545 U.S. 469 in 2005. The case was decided by the Supreme Court in a split decision, and essentially they allowed the developer of a redevelopment agency condemned property, took it away from one private owner and turned it over to another private owner to allow the continuation of the redevelopment of the community for a drug company that was expanding its operations. And the public benefit found in the, was found to be conforming with the Fifth Amendment under the takings law, that there is public purpose served, adequate public purpose served, and just compensation may be paid in those cases when the public interest being served is an increase in the tax base. Now, this led in turn to a outraged populace, and including myself, that the this went far beyond the traditional interpretation of the use, the appropriate uses for condemnation, taking for a hospital, taking for a road right away, taking for a fire station. Other public uses are legitimate uses, and taking private property from one private developer to another in a redevelopment agency is somehow breaching traditional use of the property. Well, there are redevelopment agencies, and they're all over the place. Every state has too many of them. They don't want to approve anymore because they lock in the tax base and invest the money back inside the district to try to improve those districts. There's some good that comes out of the agencies. A lot of them if you look back at the agencies 30, 40 years after their formation, and you have the benefit of hindsight, you realize, well, the same amount of development and economic prosperity would likely have occurred had they have done nothing and just let market forces work their way through. So that coupled with the state inappropriate non-traditional uses that the split decision upheld by the Supreme Court led to a lot of hard feelings. And here in California, a lot of states simply had the political will to create new legislation that would say the states would not participate in that kind of activity. So far, California has demonstrated that political will, and we did have a Proposition 90, and I think elected officials had to take careful note of the fact that it was a 48-52% vote, and our Prop 90 probably in California would have likely have passed had there have been a disconnect of another issue that was tied into it that was controversial. The other condition that was tied into it was that there would be, if you disallowed the development of property, the developer could sue for damages. And why that was brought into it here in California had to do with who was putting up the money. It was an out-of-state developer who brought it in. It was a very popular issue here in the state. It could have passed. I think it would have passed. There's still our feelings here in California really haven't changed, but it had the immediate reaction as soon as the as Prop 90, wind of Prop 90, got on the circulation list. There were quite a number of late night meetings, including right here in our own city of Livermore. It was kind of funny if you go on to our CTV 30 and go back a few months to when all the this Prop 90 was just coming out in California. There was a late night meeting, last item on the agenda on a public a city council public hearing, where the law was clearly violated. Here was the city assistant city manager coming forward and saying, "Well, oh, and there's this one other issue. We'd like you to vote no on this letter that's being circulated around the state. All the city managers are passing it around to vote no on it because of the impact it would have on our own redevelopment agency. No agendized item notice given to the public on a very controversial issue that the public was up in arms on. No proper notice given in the newspapers. This sort of thing was going to be discussed. Just slipped in. Last item on the agenda. It was about 12 o'clock at night. Just slipped in. Oh, by the way, everybody votes for it. Let's go home. Good night." And that kind of wheeling and dealing was going on between the bureaucrats, who see vested power being stripped away from them to run their redevelopment agencies, and not wanting the public to know what was really going on. Well, so we participated in that little charade here in our own community. But going back to what's wrong with the way redevelopment agencies work in general. And this is in general. This isn't just Livermore. This is the way they all work. The law requires that the when government is involved in going after a little guy, that the highest amount of public interest needs to be served in protecting the little guy. You, when big government comes after you, you're supposed to be given constitutional protections. The way it works, however, is that when government immediately makes you, if they decide they want your property, they immediately make you an adversary, a legal adversary. Now, you immediately become the enemy. You are a property owner. You may be a fine, upright citizen all your life, but as soon as you're designated as we're going to go after their property, you immediately become the adversary, the enemy. You are not given protections. You are not told what data has been accumulated in order to render a decision on value. You are simply they all treat you the same way. This is not unique. They all do it this way. They're not supposed to. But they can't figure out, nor are they interested in figuring out, because they have no vested interest and nobody's going after their case to figure out. Certainly the law profession won't do it. Lord knows they're locked into a profitable scenario. They don't want it changed. There's no vested interest being demonstrated except by the people that get hurt in the process, the little guys that get condemned, to change the system to make it work right. And here's how it should work. If the city is going to go after you, there could be a concession. If they're going to go after you for property, why not? And I'm just thinking out loud. Why wouldn't it be in the public interest to say, okay, we're going to gather up this property and we're going to take it from these people. And rather than go out and lowball all the appraisals, and believe me, the appraisal industry has its own whole scenario of sin and pandering and pimping to get jobs, and they put themselves, just like consultants in court, they put themselves on one side of the case or the other, all in the interest of seeking the truth, right? And they take on an agenda of their advocate. They take on an advocacy role. It no longer becomes, it no, and the appraisal industry has been raked over the coals on this in court, where you'll get one appraisal three times the lower appraisal, and it just drives the judges crazy, and it drives the juries crazy. It drives everybody crazy. Why are there such great variances in values when things like this occur? So all of these parties that gather together are all trying to hurt each other in some way. Now, here's the way. Here are some things that could be integrated into the system, so that these falsehoods don't continue. These inappropriatenesses don't continue within our society. One of the things that we could do to make a difference would be to simply say, since it's in the public interest that the little guy above all other entities be protected when there is a redevelopment or a taking of government, when government comes in to take from a little guy, one, the little guy should be given full entitlement to know all of the data that the government has. You know, like discovery before you go to court. But it shouldn't have to wait that long. Hey, here's everything we got. This is why we're offering you what we are. They're supposed to do that. The law says that they should do that. They don't have to tell you what their conclusion of market value is so far, although I think the law should require them to do that too. I mean, what the heck? You're supposed to protect a little guy. The law should require him to also disclose what the market value is currently under its current use for doing that. Okay, that's one change that ought to be made in the law. Full disclosure by the entity to protect the interest of the little guy, but from the government entity, the little guy. Mr. Jones, we're taking your property. This is everything we know, we can find, we expect. Okay, see you in court if you disagree. This is everything we got. Nothing new is put into it. All right, at least that's an honest process. There's no concealment. There's no wheeling and dealing. You know, it's just everything we got, here it is. Okay, that at least is an honest process. It's open and full disclosure. There's the interest of the little guy when they go up against government that is supposed to be protected, by the government, and therefore at least step one, there's protection. One thing that we can do, full disclosure. All right. Another thing we could do, the attorneys, the law profession, some of them would probably say, hey, good, I wish they did it that way. Make my job a lot easier. But the guys that have the vested interest that make their living doing this, they probably don't want to see it changed. Just because they're comfortable with the way things have always been run, even though they're not supposed to. I don't know that as a fact, I just suspect that. All right, the next thing that could be done is, and just think about this for a minute, what if instead of saying, look, we're going to take your property and give it to another private party so the other party could develop it, they do give you the right. Now, this is a current right that you have. If let's say you have a lot of money, you want to be the developer, and they're going to come in and take your property, and you say, okay, but I want to also put in a bid to be a developer. Okay, that right already exists. That right they already recognize, and that right they sort of laugh up their sleeve if you try to play that game with them, because they know full good and well that it's who has the money that wins in these games, and it's easy to size somebody up. I mean, hey, they know whether or not you're a Fortune 500 corporation or John Smith that has a little equity in a property. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. So, but that right exists because, after all, you may be a well-heeled citizen within your community and fully capable of doing a better job than some outside entity. So that right already exists. Okay, fine. That right goes along too. What will we call that right? Let's call that right equal opportunity, the equal opportunity right. So now we got full disclosure. We got the right of equal opportunity for all developers to come in and give it a fair shot at putting together the development. All right. Well, how about this right as well? Remember, what is the most important elements of liberty and freedoms in society? and I say that leading into this next right, who are we most interested in protecting? Society, quote unquote, or the individual? The state's interest or the individual's interest? Our collective interest or the individual's interest within that collective interest? Who are we more interested when the rubber meets the road? Who are we more interested in protecting at those junctures? What if we were to say, okay, we will give you the appraised value, the higher of the appraised value, of the value created by the change in use, because it's not going to be a city-owned project, it's not going to be a government-owned project, it's going to go to another developer. We will either give you the value of the new use created or the current value that you already enjoy, whichever is the higher under this condemnation. And you say, well, goodness sakes, why would a developer want to develop if he has to pay fair market value? Well, now hold on a minute. That's not a deal killer. That is not a deal killer. A developer that comes into a community, hey, he doesn't care if he comes into your downtown redevelopment area or your industrial tract redevelopment area. What he cares about is the control of the cost of his raw materials and the product he puts together, the process, and then the sale price of those raw materials. And what does he have control over? He has control over the cost of the raw materials. So, i.e., one of the costs of raw materials, cost of the land or the property being acquired. So it's not going to be a deal killer to pay fair market value. Will it change the dynamics of things? It will. It'll have the effects of, one, not making the small property owner the adversary from the get-go. Man, I've seen this for 35 years. I've seen this going on all over the state of California, and nobody wants to change it. The attorneys just love it. They could care less. They get all of their business coming through the doors. Oh, my God, they're taking my land. What do I do? And, of course, they find out what they can do. They can hire the attorney, go to court, work this out, bring in all the evidence. That should all be presented free of charge to the little guy that has to defend himself from government. That shouldn't be the advantage. Oh, here's one other thing. This is one other thing. So far we've listed three things. One was full disclosure. One was sort of the level of the playing field. The other was equal opportunity. The third was the highest and best use price or the current price, whichever is higher. And the fourth should be, now think about this, because you may be on the receiving end of condemnation, or a family member of yours, or somewhere down the road, when you want to see society get back to its values of liberty and justice and fairness for the minority group, and in this case, minority group isn't a racial minority, it's the group that's being condemned, the little guy. The one other thing they should be forced to do as part of the process, the fourth element, is pay legal fees. Oh, we just won the attorneys back. Now we don't have them fighting us. But no, think about it. They should be forced. The government should be required to pay reasonable legal fees. And that term reasonable is a powerful term in the judge's courtroom. And that is the sort of power that you should be protecting individual property rights with. Does it happen? No. In 35 years, in many, many instances, I've never seen it happen. Here's what usually happens. We get a property owner gets a notice. They immediately are classified as the targeted property. They are the adversary. They are legally the adversary. They are treated as such. Attorneys from the agency that's doing the acquiring treat you as the adversary. Information is hidden from you. You're kept in ignorance. They then come in and to carry out these traditional methods of incorrectly dealing with the public, they lowball you with an offer at the low end of the price spectrum. They don't give you all the information to make a decision. They sure as heck know they don't have to pay your legal fees. Therefore, they don't. They know they have a bigger hammer than you, so they will lowball you. Surely the amount of the legal fees, maybe two or three times that, knowing if you go to court, you're going to have to risk paying it. So even if you get a higher settlement. So it is unfortunate, but it is the general practice. And that is what needs to be changed in the state of California. I don't see any political will being talked about or demonstrated on the heels of Proposition 90, but you know what? I think this issue is going to come back, and any astute politician that saw a 48-52 vote on Prop 90 has got to pause and think, probably the reason that extra 2% plus one vote didn't go out the door and vote for this thing was because of that unusual fear-mongering issue that we were able to play as the bureaucracy and the man and the state that we are, that we were able to play the issue, the fear issue, that we'll have to approve every application that comes before us, or a developer will sue us for lost revenues, no matter how high the density. That was the fear-mongering that was going on. Was it in the body of the legislation? No, it wasn't, but that's okay. It was one radical interpretation, and it had political legs, as they say. So it's perception over reality. It doesn't matter. If it wasn't for that out-of-state developer who ponied up $1 million, bless his heart, to try to get Prop 90, if he had just left Prop 90 alone, just done the Prop 90 for Prop 90's sake, condemnation, just focused on that one issue, I think the thing would have passed. And so I expect it to come back eventually. That's the problem, as I see it, with redevelopment. This is Rich Buckley, Bay Area Pathfinder Productions, Rich Buckley Realty. We sell real estate, business opportunities, land, industrial, commercial. Thank you for listening. Our number is 443-1122, area code 19.